it over to your Bible, please, the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. Exodus, chapter number 2. I told somebody last night back there, I said, they say three of the hardest things there is to do in the world. Number one is to kiss your wife when she's leaning away from you. Number two is climb a fence when it's leaning toward you. Number three is keep Baptist attention when there's food in the fellowship hall. On a more serious note, I do want to say I really thank God for the message, Brother Morris. Thank you. Dear brother, thank you. There's a lot of things in life. I'm just going to add this statement. It's a whole lot better to want them and not have them than to have them and not want them. I sit over tonight as he preached, Brother Farrell. I sit over tonight just reminiscing. I don't know why it come to my mind. What he was preaching brought to my mind. I remember the first time I was really swept off of my feet by a young lady. Beautiful. 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 Come to our church, got right with the Lord. And by the way, I'm saying nothing bad about her. Good lady. As far as I know, good lady all these years. But Brother Hardin, we didn't last long. God intervened in a definite way. But I lived long enough to thank God I didn't marry her. Right. See, God knew my future. God knew I needed a preacher's wife. God knew what I needed to stand by me. And we've just celebrated 54 years together. Amen. By the way, preacher, I'm glad you brought up that middle life crisis. I'm almost there. Yeah. I'm working on it. But young people, listen to me. Well, the greatest move outside of salvation is when you stand before that man of God and say, I do.
That's right. Yep.
How many young ladies had a good start for God? Boy, I could talk a while. I don't need to. Young lady in our church when I was still pastoring, surrendered to be a missionary. But nobody come along. She wound up on the job, got to talking to a lost man. Made a profession, but lost man. Life wasted. Family destroyed. There's a businesswoman over in Tennessee that I've been to her place of business a number of times. Christian bookstore, good Christian bookstore. I believe I'll tell this preacher and I'll preach.
Yes,
me and a couple of preachers in there one day, they were with me in a meeting at the church I was pastoring. I mentioned we was in a mission conference. And I'm telling you, she perked up. She said, oh, I love missionaries. This would have been in the 70s. She said, as a matter of fact, through this store, I gave over $1,000 a month last year to missions. This is in the 70s now. I said, wow, that's great. But Herbert, she looked at me and she said, no, that's not great. That's second best. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, when I was a young lady, God dealt with me about being a missionary, and I surrendered. But nobody come along to be my husband. I got tired of waiting, and finally somebody just popped up in my life, and I married him. Went with him a little bit out of the will of God, and then she said, I told him, I got to get back in church. They had a baby, and we'll raise my baby in church. And he said, you can have it. And left her. She said, I promised the Lord that if he would give me a business where I could support myself and my baby, all the profit that I could go above that, I would put in missions. And she said, it may sound like a lot of money, preacher, but she said, all I do is read letters about people being saved. She said, I could have been kneeling with them and leading them to Christ. I could have been teaching them in Sunday school. The will of God is absolutely the most important thing there is in your life.
Yes, it is.
In the matter of marriage and the will of God, you're better to be an old maid at 24. You're not an old maid, but done a divorcee at 22. Amen. I just believe God wanted me to say that. Can I say something? Take heed. Take heed. Listen, let's stand together if you would, please. Your Bible open. Again, Brother Jimmy, appreciate the message. Appreciate all the preaching. Appreciate the service this morning. I say it oftentimes at our camp meeting and at our church sometimes when I'm there. I like it when the Holy Ghost interrupts our program.
Yeah, amen.
We were having a graduation service at the Bible College one time, Brother Herbert. And Brother Allen, I always open up the service and lead in it and introduce and present our pastor and our president of the Bible College. As I did, Brother Shepherd, he came to the stadium like this, with, you know how he does it, and says, "Get this thing off of me, I'm going to preach." We hadn't even pledged allegiance to the flag. Now I'm telling you, he preached like a wild man for about 40 minutes and then said, "Now, Brother Blue, you carry on, I'll go change clothes and be back." As he went out the door, Brother Herbert, I took the whole program and just wadded it up. Throwed it over behind the piano.
Amen.
We got him graduated. I don't know exactly what all we've done. I know we think it got before. Brother Rick and Gravely got started preaching on hell. He preached once, he preached twice, he preached third time. He called me and he said, "Brother Blue, you got anything on hell?" I preached these three outlines I got, and I need to preach on hell again. And I just fixing to print that book out there on hell. I had it in the computer, not in book form. I said, "I got this ready to go to the press." And he said, "Would you be kind enough to email it to me?" And I did, and he just preached on through it. And Brother Shepherd, right in the middle of all that, they had an ordination service ordaining two preachers. And Brother Gravely got up and started that thing. He said, "God don't want this. He wants me to preach on hell." He preached on hell in an ordination service, and two got saved.
Amen.
Maybe one preacher been ordained, two got saved.
Amen.
I like it when the Holy Ghost interrupts our program, and he's welcome to do it tonight if he wants to. In Exodus chapter number 2, you know the story. I'm just going to skip through this and come to where I want to read and preach tonight. Israel is down in Egypt. Now, if you let me just say this, and you study the book of Genesis, the first 11 chapters deals with the beginning of the human family.
Right.
By the way, if you go back any farther than that, you go too far. Don't go back that far. You don't go back far enough. Then with chapter number 12, you have the beginning of the Hebrew family. And that covers the rest of the book of Genesis. They wind up chapter number 50 of Genesis down in Egypt. But now then, Israel's been down there for a period of approximately 430 years. They're crying out to God for deliverance. And God heard their cry.
Amen.
And God is about to send them somebody. Can I go ahead and say a missionary? Somebody to deliver them out of bondage.
Amen.
So God meets up with Moses in chapter number 3. And there's the burning bush experience. I can't read about all that. But in chapter 3, verse number 10, God has a conversation with Moses. And he said, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I?" You know the story, so turn the page, look at chapter number 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, "But," I have a note written in my scripture here, quit butting God.
Amen.
Quit butting God. I like it when God butts into our life, but when God says something, stop butting God. And he gives three excuses for not going. Number one, he said, "They will not believe me, nor will they hearken or hear me." And then he said, they will say the Lord had not appeared unto thee. And God said unto Moses in verse number 2, and I said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this evening from God's eternal Word. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've acknowledged it privately. I acknowledge it publicly. Lord, I need you tonight. I do need you. The message I have on my heart is bigger than I am. Lord, the need of this hour is far greater than my ability. Lord, I feel like Moses standing in this place tonight. Who am I? Who am I? Me? Who am I? Oh, God, I'm nothing within myself. But you are able to take my inability and insert your ability and preach through this earthen vessel. You've done it before. Do it again, Lord. Help me to help your people now. And for what you do, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open this evening for the message for tonight from the Word of God. I want to particularly get your attention for just a moment focused on me in the pulpit. I know I'm not the most handsome man in the building, but I want you to look at me just a moment. I want you to watch me. Observe my attitude of what I'm fixing to say. Everybody ready? Stop telling God what you can't do. And let God show you what He can do. Can I say what I want to say? God is sick and tired of "I can't." The word "can't" and "cannot" should not be in the vocabulary of a saved person. Come on, help me now. And if I remember Philippians 4:13, let's kind of go through it together. Let's do it one word, then add a word, then add a word. All right, let's go. Philippians 4:13. And maybe I ought to quote it up front and remember you. But Paul said, "I can do
all things through Christ."
All right, let's go one word, then I want to back up and review. All right, let's go. I can do.
I can do all things.
You know the rest of it. Now look at me a moment. If we believe that, we have no scriptural right to tell God we can't. I don't want to take the time to do it, but I want to say this. By the grace of God, the Word of God, I can burst every excuse you got. You said, "Well, I'm too old." Well, Moses is 80 when God called him, so that really eliminates all of us but Brother Hardin. I don't mean that disrespectful, preacher. You said, "Well, I'm too young." God wouldn't have made one boy king when he was 6 years old, 7 years old. God used Samuel when he was but a child. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't have the education. Did you ever study the disciples?"
Yeah, man.
"Well, preacher, I don't have the money. Did you not ever read Philippians 4:19?
Yep. Right.
"Well, preacher, I can't talk good. Did you ever read Moses' story?" The Bible said in Romans chapter number 2, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." I don't care what God wants you to do, where God wants you to do it, how long God wants you to do it, how big it is or how small it is, how much it costs, we don't have any Bible basis of saying, "I can't." You say, "Preacher, what's the problem?" I'm going to deal with it, and I hope you'll stay with me. I'm dealing tonight with probably one of the greatest sins committed by independent Baptists of our circle. Brother Matthias, it's the failure to believe God. I'm not mean, I'm not mad. We preach a big God, but we practice such a small God. You know, God can do anything that He needs to do in your life.
Amen.
With emphasis right now on your life. I can preach to you, God can do anything you want to do through your life. But what about my life? Now look at me just a moment. Please, I'm not being mean. But what we're doing, Brother Hall, we're limiting God to our own human ability. Can I go a step further? We're limiting God to our own peanut brains comprehension. If I can't figure it out, God can't do it. If I can't see it, God can't do it. If I can't explain it, God, that's the religious concept of our day. But in so doing, a phrase from the Psalms that grips my heart, we're limiting the Holy One of Israel because of our unbelief. Did not our Lord say in the last chapter, Matthew chapter number 13, the Bible said in the last verse, He said, and He did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. I want to reemphasize, God can do whatever you need to do, whatever He wants you to do. As long as we're talking about somebody else. Maybe I need to explain that by saying it this way. You know, I pastored for 17 years, or pestered some of it, but I was in the office for 17 years. And I've talked to people all these years of preaching. And Brother Shepherd, if you got a problem, Romans 8:28 is in the book. That's my answer to you. Now you know what I'm fixing to say, don't you? But when it's my problem, Romans 28 just don't seem too great, does it? It won't hurt us to be honest. Amen. You got a problem? Romans 8, 28. I got a problem. Pray for me. There are two areas I want to deal with tonight, and I hope you'll let this ride in your mind through the message, and I don't plan to be long at all. But quit telling God what you can't do. And let God show you what He can do in the matter of living your life and in the matter of giving. Amen. Stop. Boy, did you notice it got real quiet? Stop telling God what you can't do with your life. Now, I could spend all night and not repeat anything, but let me just say quickly, you know, Moses had an excuse. Moses gave several excuses. Me? They don't believe you sent me. They don't listen to me. They don't think you appeared to me. And God don't let it. By the way, you never win an argument with God. I don't mean disrespectful, but God is stubborn. When He says that that's it, you can argue all you want to, but God's not going to change. Say amen right there. Amen. And then Moses said, but I can't talk. God said, you got a brother Aaron. Brother Pharaoh, Brother Shepherd, Aaron went to be a spokesman for Moses. And he didn't get to do much talking at all. Moses doesn't seem like 95% of the talking down through there. Amen. God is able. I wish I had a better word. God can infuse enabling grace and let His ability overcome our inability. Amen. No doubt in my mind, every missionary here tonight, even the preachers as well, who are not missionaries, Brother Troy, go to Mexico. Go down there, name of that town, go down there. Yeah. I know he can say it right. Brother Jimmy, go to Dixon. Brother Matthias, start that church. Me? I could go around the line. Brother Howe! Look what I was, God. Look what I've been. Look where I've been. I'm not pointing out anything, but stop telling God you can't.
Amen.
I want to make this statement. If you can accuse me of what you want to, God knows my heart. But these boys here, from the young to the old, Brother Shepherd, there's not a one of them, not a man, male person in this building that can rightfully tell God, unless you've been disqualified by your marriage situation according to Scripture, you can't preach.
Right. Right.
Don't down on me.
Right.
God, as I said tonight, God chooses who He pleases to accomplish what He purposes. And you and I have no right of telling God, I can't do it.
Right.
Right. Israel got in bondage of the Midianites. And they're crying out. And God went down and visited Gideon. And God said, I'm going to deliver him by you. Gideon said, but God! Me? I want to make this statement. Hear what I'm saying. If you think in your flesh you're capable of pleasing God in His service, please don't ever enter into the service of God. God don't choose the able. God chooses the unable.
Right.
And then enables us. The unable then enables us.
Amen.
And God gets the glory for it. Look at me just a moment. I am convinced that the will of God for your life will be something you cannot do in and of your own self. If you can do it, you would not need God. And if you could do it in your own fleshly ability, God would get no glory out of what's happening. This just come to my mind. I remember I started leading singing when I was 12 years old. When I was 15 years old, I was assistant choir director and then basically became the choir director, the song leader at our church. We had a pastor who had two children at that time. I had leukemia. And Brother Shepherd, all he knew to do then for leukemia, you know, your blood was destroyed. You just go get another transfusion. And there's not a lot of warning. He made it middle of the night, 3 o'clock Saturday morning, Sunday morning, have loaded one of them children, take them to the hospital. He called one of the deacons and said, tell Brother Ballou I had to take Jerry to the hospital. I won't be there. I'm sending somebody to preach, and he can take the offering and turn it over to the preacher. There's no way in the world I can make you believe what a task that was for me. I'd leave this choir. The choir would go down, and you know, time to take the offering. I'd call the ushers, he'll come take the offering, and then they got through. But Shepherd, I'm telling you, it was a job. Well, pastor called, and one of the children are sick, and he sent so-and-so to preach for us. They said, come on and preach, brother. That was a job. I couldn't talk in front of people. You don't believe that now. But you should have known me then. And here I stand tonight, Brother Hope Herbert, a trophy of God's grace.
Amen.
Overcome that. And I preach all the time just about it now, before people all the time. I don't care what it is. God can equip you to do what God wants you to do.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen. Stop telling God what you can't do. He already knows. One of my favorite stories, and many of you know this, is in the Bible. My favorite story is that little lad who had a little lunch, met a great big Lord, had a whole lot of leftovers.
Yeah.
It might be because I love fish and hush puppies that I love that story, but I learned the Lord loved it. He put it in four Gospels. I don't know when He ever put it in. I don't know if miracle He put in there. But can you imagine bringing that situation to our place today? Can you imagine if an hour before the Lord takes that lunch and feeds a multitude, or He gives us lunch to the Lord and feeds a multitude. Can you imagine what one of the disciples said? Hey, boy, you better get ready. You've got to feed this crowd dinner.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Feed all of you? Beyond me? But He did.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know what the secret is? He brought His inability to the God of ability.
Amen.
He gave, He gave God what he had.
Amen.
And God took it. God touched it. God transformed it. And God made out that lunch what mom and daddy couldn't make out of it, what the preachers couldn't make out of it, what the crowd, I'm saying to you, God can enable us by his enabling grace to do what God said do. Stop telling God what you can't do.
Amen.
Elijah, I want you to get up and head east. Cross the Jordan and go up to the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed. Now, wait a minute, God. Ravens don't feed men.
Yeah.
Lord, that's never been on. I Googled that up on Google. It's not in Google. Ravens. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
I'm getting modern now. Lord, I'll starve. But finally, there's a little element I want to deal with in a few moments. I'm going to just call it something right now, brother. Something inside him caused him to believe that God could and would feed him from the ravens. Never happened before. As far as I know, never happened again. You see how did it come to pass? God invented the first catering service, probably called it Raving Cuisine. Elijah, go to Zarephath. But I got ahead of myself just a few days before that. God pays a visit to Zarephath. Visit a little widow woman. And said to her, Sister William said to her, I'm going to send a preacher by. And I want you to feed him through the famine.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Do we not see right person say, I can't do that?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
She promised God she would. And I'll tell you why I believe she promised God she would. If you don't understand my language, I'll just be funny. I don't want a dead woman cooking my cornbread. So if she's going to feed the preacher, she's going to live herself.
Yeah, amen.
That's her life insurance.
Right.
Every day. She just done what God told her to.
Yep.
And she and her son and the man of God lived.
Amen.
Not on her provisions, but on his
amen.
Provisions. A little lady by the name of Hannah. You may not take this as far as I do, but Shepherd, I don't believe she dreamed this up. I believe God come to her and told her, I want you to give me a baby boy. I believe God put that in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? I don't think she dreamed that story.
Right.
But God, I cannot conceive. She could have said that, but she didn't. There's a little element that calls her to believe God could produce what God ordered for her life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And she who had had no children now then has six. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I want you to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 11 for these final few moments tonight. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible gives us the key to receiving from the Lord what is needed in whatever service God wants us to do. I'm going to go ahead and make this statement. I don't want to be critical of nobody. Please don't take it that way. Brother Shepherd, I'm sure there's some people sitting right here tonight that's in need of something. They're praying for something.
Sure.
Because God's delays are not necessarily God's denials.
Right.
Brother Maney stood up here this morning and told about that printing ministry and just over and over again how God.
Yeah.
I could tell you, you could tell you. Would y'all forgive me just a moment, Brother Hall? It's anniversary time again. 14 years ago.
Amen.
Sunday morning. I was sitting over here on the second pew from the end, second chair from the end. Brother Hall got up to close the service, was going to have lunch and hit the road. Brother Hall said, I believe God wants us church to give Brother Bruce some radio time to preach on.
Amen.
Missions or whatever God wants him to. I'm pretty sure the words you said. I said, I can't. I'm 60 years old. Now that's young now. That was antique then, but I'm 60 years old. I'm a husband. I'm a daddy. I help pastor with a Bible college. I preach meetings every week. I help with a camp. I'm too busy. But the real thing, Brother Moore's, was, I didn't tell God, but I knew he knew what I was saying. It costs too much!
Yeah.
I left this meeting, went to Gainesville, Georgia the next week, and shared it with a young pastor, and three nights later, Brother Shepherd, he got up and started raising money to buy recording equipment. I said, now that's a green light. When they go to raise money, that's the right color green. That's a green light. But seriously, I almost stopped it. And God said three things to my heart so fast I couldn't shepherd him. God said, let it alone. You don't know the future. You don't know what I'm doing. Let it alone. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know the future. And with that, I backed off. And I'm not boasting in me at all. I'm boasting in him. But here we are 14 years later. Radio bill runs over $70,000 a year. $300 every day I broadcast has got to come in. Pay the bills. When I get to thinking about it, I get scared.
Yes, sir.
But I want to go on record tonight. Y'all support me, so I got a right to report to you. I don't know one radio station, one dime.
Amen.
We got another week of August, and we've already got the money there. I'm sure it's there already to pay the month of August.
Amen.
We don't have a lot left over. But God has proven to me. Hey, you know who this is? This is Stinnett, Blue. Brother Herbert, I know where I was at when God found me.
Yeah.
I seen God use them other guys, them big guys, we called them, you know. Me. I'm telling this for a reason. Brother Shepherd, there is absolutely no telling who's sitting in this building tonight that God's dealt bringing thoughts into their mind about doing something. And I know human beings well enough to know as soon as God projects a thought in your mind about doing something for God, your flesh is going to raise up about five excuses why it won't work and you can't do it.
Amen.
Stop telling God what you can't do.
Amen.
Let God show you what He can. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. I want to get verse number 1 first. The Bible said, now faith is. We need some now faith.
Yes, sir.
Not used to be faith.
Yeah.
Not going to be faith. But now faith is.
Amen.
Please bear with me just a moment. I don't know the story. I wish I knew more than the Scripture says on this, but I just take what the Bible said. God came down in Genesis chapter number 3 after Adam and Eve sinned and made the first sacrifice of those animals, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know. Some of you men, if you hit me, I'm honest. I'd be willing to listen. I don't know, Brother Herbert, I don't know. If it's in the Bible, I wish somebody would hit me and see it. I don't know, Brother Shepherd, if Adam ever practiced that again. I don't know. I'm honest. If you know where it is in Scripture, I'd like to know. I don't know. I don't know. I know them boys grew up and God puts it in their heart. Okay, now, would you agree with that? God puts it in their heart to offer unto the Lord. I really believe that Adam and Eve did. I believe the boys saw Daddy do it. If you disagree, please don't get disagreeable. But here's what got my thinking, preacher. It's one thing if you to see your daddy preach. But it's a whole different ball game when you picked up that book yourself and come to the pulpit to preach.
Yes,
yourself. But it's not Daddy now. I said it's not Daddy now. I'm talking to somebody here. God's talking to somebody here. It's not Daddy now. It's not the old preacher. God is speaking to some of the younger generation. It's time that you, can I say it, you take the knife. Cain, the first liberal, offered a bloodless and a faithless sacrifice, offering. Right. He didn't offer a sacrifice, he offered an offering.
Right.
God didn't take it. But Cain, forgive my little old knife, but Cain, Abel, here's the knife. Now watch me just a moment. Well, that sword probably is what he had, but that knife. But Abel, I keep saying Abel. Abel can do what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
And God honor it.
Amen.
Can you imagine the fear? What if I cut it wrong? What if I don't do it right? I said this morning, God wasn't watching the offer. He's looking at the offering.
Right.
Abel had never offered a sacrifice before. But he'd done what he had never done before. And God loved it, and it pleased God so much that God not only recorded in the book of Genesis, put it over in the book of Hebrews, and he being dead, yet speaketh.
Amen.
You imagine God saying one day, Enoch, I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me. Son, have your Bible shot and jump up here just a moment, please. Let's me and you walk together. Hold my hand. I'm not going to hurt you. Turn around. Thank you. You can be seated. One day God said, Enoch, I want you to walk with me. If you study the scripture, it looks like three things happened on Enoch's 65th birthday. He became a believer, a parent, became a believer, and became a preacher. But he started a 300-year walk with God, Brother Hall,
amen,
when that Methuselah was born. And he had never walked with God. I don't think it's getting us. I'm talking about me. Walking with God.
Amen.
Stop telling God you can't.
Amen.
And start doing it. But watch this just a moment. I illustrate that on purpose. Enoch couldn't hold God's hand.
Right.
He couldn't see God. He had to walk by faith.
Right.
Boy, I could go into by faith, Noah, Enoch, by faith, Abel worshipped, Enoch walked, Noah worked. God said, Noah, build an ark. Me? I don't have a contract license. I don't have the material. But there's that element of faith that caused Noah to start gathering material and start building. I want to say this. I've got to make a point here. I'm going to move to close. I do not believe God told Noah a whole blueprint of instructions from the beginning, Brother Hall, to the closing up front. I'll tell you why I don't believe it. If he did, it would take away the element of faith. He did what God told him to every step of the way.
Amen.
Now, I get in my car tonight. I'm not going tonight, but if I get in my car tonight, let's be simple. I get in my car tonight, Lord, with a little while after we eat, we're going to the motel. When I get in that car and the headlights come on, my headlights don't shine to the motel. But you know what? They do shine in front of a car.
Yep.
And if I drive in the light that them lights give, I turn up the street in front of it here, my lights. See, the life of faith is not seeing the end results from the beginning. It's walking one step at a time by faith, walking in the light of what God done. There have been several good testimonies of missionaries. Brother Caleb was just informed me a little bit ago, and I just marvel at God. He's got these 6 years laid out, Papua New Guinea. God can give some goals. God can give some ideas. I'm not critical of that at all, Brother Caleb. Don't you take that at that. But God don't always lay out 6 years. And I promise you there'll be some upsets and some downfalls and some turnarounds and some other things come up in 6 years. I've lived that 6 years. I know it will come. But all it will do will be when God diverts you, it'll be a better diversion than what you had seen thus far. You've got new light shining on it then. By faith, Abraham went out. Where are you going, Abraham? We were in a meeting over in East Tennessee, and one of the missionaries preached on Abraham being a missionary. I liked it. He said, can you imagine bringing Abraham out to a modern-day missions meeting? And somebody said, Abraham, where's your prayer card? Got a prayer card? What? Somebody else might say, you're a mission board? I'm not critical of prayer cards. I'm not critical of mission boards. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. How am I going to stay? I don't know. What you going to do? I don't know. Well, why in the world are you going? God told me to, and something inside me calls me to do it because God said do it. Affected Sarah's womb. Affected Moses' wishes. He desired not the riches of Egypt. Wanted to please God. Affected the children of Israel go across. It affected Jericho's walls. It affected Rahab the harlot. She's led them down over that wall and they told her, said, you hang that out. That scarlet thread.
Right.
I don't know if it ever happened or not, but you just imagine how many people walk by them. I wonder what that's doing hanging there. Why is that in that window? They probably ask her. But I want to tell you something, I'm through. Get a divorce from public opinion.
Amen.
And tune in to what God says do.
Right.
And believe God.
Amen.
Believe God. Stop telling God what he or you can't do. And let God show you what he can do through you. Please listen, I'm through. Until you and I learn to live by faith, the ability is limited to my ability. But by faith, I turn loose of my ability and take on God's ability.
Without faith, it's my own financial ability.
But by faith, it's God's financial ability.
Amen.
Without faith, it depends on my own human efforts. But with faith, God does something that's beyond us.
Amen.
I wonder tonight. I'm not trying to put anything in anybody's mind or heart except what God wants to do tonight. But I wonder tonight, are we guilty of failing to believe God can? Now, I need to go a step further. It's not just believing God can, it's believing God will.
Right. Yeah.
Dr. Schottler was referenced earlier, that great message on 4 Hallelujahs. My brother Sutton preached that, meeting that. But he had another famous message too.
Can God? God can, God can, God can,
God can. Here's a question. Can God do through you what he's dealing with your heart about doing? You can sit on the church pew all your life wishing God would use you and set on the church and be faithful till God gets ready to use you. But there comes a time, preacher, when that step of faith. By the way, if it's true faith, it'll never separate you from the Scripture. If it's true faith, it'll never separate you from the local church.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
But there comes a time. I looked at that broadcast, Brother Hall. I went over and seen an older gentleman. He's a businessman, a friend of ours. This is a man I've known for a number of years. And when I went over to see him, Brother Shepherd, he was 70 when I went over. I was 60. He's 10 years older than I am. And I said, Brother Bob, I feel like I'm too old. He said, what, Brother Ballou? How old are you? I said, I'm 60. He said, I'm 70. He said, I started 3 businesses in the last 10 years. And every one of them's making good money. Air conditioning, heating, air conditioning, and some other things, real estate. I said, you know, Brother Bob, I believe God will let me have 15 years for the radio. 14 of them's gone. I'm not limiting God. I'm about ready to renegotiate the contract, but I'm not planning on signing off if my health stays well and that. But look what I would have missed. The joy, but look what the world would have missed. Please don't think I'm bragging on Stennett Blue. Brother Hall, look what I've lost the county. Madisonville, Tennessee would have lost. Look what they'd have missed if you hadn't obeyed God and moved to this church.
Amen.
Most of the people in this building, no reflection, Pastor, please. I don't think there's any. Most of the people in this church, from this era, most members of the church were saved somewhere under your ministry, probably in the years you've been here. I've done a poor job preaching, but I hope the Holy Ghost has done what He wants to do in your life. Stop telling God you can't. And let God show you He can. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our musicians are coming. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying. I don't want to do anything in my flesh to trigger a response from nobody in this building. But I'm simply saying to you, no doubt in my mind, in many areas I've not even come close to tonight. But there's people here that God's been putting some things in your heart. Some of you, God's dealing with you about your faith promise given. You're telling God, I can't raise it this year. Lord, I can't go that far. I can't do that. Some of you, God's dealing with about an area of service, your life. Stop telling God what you can't do. Let God show you what He can do. Father, bring glory and honor to thine own self, Lord, if you will. Out of the message tonight, out of the meeting tonight, the whole service has been touched of God, and I'm grateful for it. Lord, there are some decisions tonight that will not be made in this altar service. I pray some are. Lord, there'll be some people go down the road tomorrow with this simple subject ringing in their heart. Even after we're all packed our bags and going back to our respective places of abode, Pastor Shepherd will come in this pulpit a Sunday morning or Sunday night, preach, and Lord, you'll start moving in somebody's heart. Their first human response will be, I can't. Would you bring this simple thought to their mind? The child of God should not have the word can't and cannot in their vocabulary. Do what you want to do. What needs to be done, Lord. Oh, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, brother?
163.
The altar's open. If you need to come, I don't really want you to come unless God wants you to come. I'm not pushing or pulling nobody to come. I'm convinced there are people in this congregation right now, God's dealing with you about doing something, and you're hesitating. And down the road, a few weeks, months down the road, God will speak to somebody else. And if you're not careful, that flesh will react. My hesitation. Let God be God. Believe God. Faith is a trusting obedience to what God says. Believing, trusting. Brother Joel's singing for us. Congregation, sing. If you need to come to the altar, please be obedient. And Brother Shepherd's coming.